The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your temporary substitute, just passing through host, Edmund DeWitt, sitting in for Kathy Bush. And today we have three of our regular panelists. On my left in the Department of Philosophy, Professor Elizabeth Oljar.
Good to be here.
Good to have you here. On her left in the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, Professor Matt Mayo.
Hi.
Hi. And on his kind of like left and almost across from him,
left-ish,
from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Dan Maggio.
Greetings.
Most of the questions you hear on this program are sent in by our listeners or by somebody. If you stump the panel, you will receive the world-famous, highly coveted autograph photograph. If you do not stump the panel, you still get the autograph photograph. So.
Very egalitarian.
Nobody loses on this show. It's kind of like taking an intro class from me.
You got to remember that advising's coming.
That's right. And everybody passes because I don't want to see you people ever again.
That is awesome.
All right.
That is awesome.
Mr. Andrew Harrison of Sterling Heights, Michigan, has sent in a series of questions on Shakespeare.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion? Yes. I'll read it. You could sit here.
I know. Edmund, do you want to take these questions?
No, the worst thing would be if somebody sends in a bunch of questions on obscure history plays written in the late 16th century by people who were not Shakespeare.
Yeah, then if you weren't a panelist, we wouldn't have any hope.
That's my current project, and oh my lord, I'm starting on a play right now written by the ever popular Anonymous called Edward Ironsides, the son of Ethelred the Unready, and his battle for the control of Britain against Canute the Dane. The entire title is simply Edward Ironsides, or War Hath Made Us Friends.
Wow. Sounds suspiciously like, you know, Romeo and Ethel the pirate's
daughter. Well, it's not far removed from that kind of stuff, believe me. You know, and I'm trying to figure out something nice to say. Anyway, it was my problem. No,
it's a history play.
Yeah. In what year was Shakespeare born? 1560s.
64?
Yes.
It's a good year, 64.
Well, I could think it was Descartes, so I knew that wasn't right.
What is the name of Hamlet's mother?
Gertrude.
That's right.
Gert.
How many of Shakespeare's plays were published during his lifetime?
Ew.
I feel like the answer would be like none or something.
No, there were a lot of them published, but it depends what you mean by publishing, too, really. The trouble is, you see, it had these printers who would get a hold of a copy of the play or at least something that pretended to be a copy of a play. And to capitalize on the play, if it was success or moderately successful, they'd grind out a fast printed copy. These were in quarto form, so they're called the bad quartos, the good quartos, the unspeakably awful quartos. Because essentially half the play's missing in some cases.
Right.
All the scenes are all in backwards order and that kind of stuff. And that's led to this assumption by many people for many years that these were all versions of the play that had been dictated to a scribe by the actors in a bar, in a pub. You know, they'd sit there and say, so what's Julius Caesar all about? You know, oh, we'll recite the whole play for you. And, of course, they're drunk out of their minds. And they only had a minor role carrying a spear on stage. But
well, but Shakespeare was one of the actors often.
Yes,
so,
yes, he was.
I mean, they could
he
be
was.
16,
yeah.
I'm just guessing.
That's close enough. 18.
All right.
Yeah. Some of them were never printed, and in fact, there's some in the first folio that had never been seen before. You know. Anyway, not that they were plays that were worth seeing.
Everybody takes a while to get going.
Yes, and some of them slow down later in life too. Yeah. I mean, if Cymbeline, oh wow, what a breathtaker that is.
I haven't read that one.
Okay. What Lethal Weapon actor starred in a version of Hamlet?
Mel Gibson.
I liked that movie.
It wasn't bad. He was actually quite good. Yeah, you know, he was. I remember him being interviewed by somebody. I've forgotten who it was, but they were saying, you know, that, well, you know, you're a Hollywood actor and that kind of stuff. It must be awfully hard getting used to dealing with Shakespeare's language and everything. And Gibson indicated, at least that time in his life, he was, you know, a sane person. And he said, no, it's actually quite easy. He said, it's just a matter of figuring out the verse form. And then that's all your work's done for you. All the emphasis on the words and things is part of the poetry. Mm-hmm. You don't sit there and agonize, how am I going to read this? You know, just follow the rhythm. You're halfway home. Mm-hmm.
He was good.
He was very good.
He's actually a really good actor.
He is.
The problem is he's crazy.
He's barking mad.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, apparently this one called, what's the latest one?
Yeah.
Edge of Darkness or something.
Because he's a crazy dad and he's trying to get his son or daughter back.
I have the original British version of that, you know. And, but apparently, I mean, the reviews I've read, mm-hmm. I haven't seen the film, mm-hmm. But the reviews have said that, you know, he does an incredible piece of acting.
Well, mm-hmm. even going back to, the Year of Living Dangerously,
that's
a great movie.
It is. Yeah. The man can act, you know.
He's just barking mad.
Yes. Yes. What solo singing artist CD shares the same name as Hamlet's Ophelia?
Oh, Natalie Merchant.
That's right.
I have that CD.
Whom does the king send to spy on Hamlet?
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern?
That's right.
They're dead.
In The Winter's Tale. In The Winter's Tale, who is the wife of Leontes?
No. I've read that.
My wife was the English major.
But
so,
not in a good number
she
of
She has
years.
The name of a woman who currently is in Spooks.
Oh. Come on, Beth.
Come on, Beth.
Someone who reminds Beth of her PhD director.
Oh, the actress?
Yeah.
Hermione.
That's right.
That works.
That's right. Hermione. That's not a name you encounter very. Hermione's in.
Not outside of Britain.
Or Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. He's Hermione. But yeah, that's right. It's a very British name. Yeah. In Julius Caesar, who is the conspirator who convinces Brutus to go against Caesar?
It's not Mark Antony, is it?
No.
My high school English teacher is probably turning in a grave.
No.
Cassius?
Oh, there with you the go. Lean and hungry look. Yeah. Who thinks too much. Such men are dangerous.
I think that was the first Shakespeare. No, it was Romeo and Juliet, which I didn't particularly like. Hmm. It wasn't until As You Like It that I thought.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
And Midsummer Night's Dream. I was like, oh, this guy really knows what he's talking about. Yeah. Romeo and Juliet was like, this is just freaking depressing.
Yes. That's true.
I just obviously wasn't a tragedy person.
Oh, well.
Until Hamlet and Lear and got to the really good ones.
I always thought it was something like, you know, you couldn't get into Romeo and Juliet until you'd had a heartbreaking love affair or something like that. That's probably
why reading it in the eighth grade didn't work.
It wouldn't work.
And
you
didn't have the Leo DiCaprio movie,
which
that movie was great.
It was a very interesting attempt to do something
with it.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you got to see that. It's really funky.
Just the idea of Leonardo DiCaprio and who is in it? It's not Julie Stiles. Is it Claire Danes?
Right.
Claire Danes.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's interesting, though, because you know I have this theory about Wagner's opera Tristan and Isolde also, that you don't really get Tristan until you have been involved in a really shattering love affair. Then suddenly it all makes sense.
What did you think of the film version of that with James Franco?
I wasn't impressed.
I didn't think much of it as a movie, but I haven't read the.
Yeah.
I don't have any familiarity.
The problem
Wagnerian
is
Wagnerian original.
Yeah. Well, it's based on a medieval original. You know, there are ten different versions of the Tristan story. But Wagner's, of course, is an opera or music drama, rather.
And, of course.
It's the longest unresolved chord in the history of music. The prelude begins with a motif that you expect to resolve into a chord, and it doesn't. And it doesn't until the very last second of the work 5 hours later, Which is one of the reasons why you sit through a Tristan and you're on edge all the time.
Yeah, I was good. How disconcerting.
Keeps going around constantly in that kind of direction, and it pulls back. Wagner knew what he was doing. It's really vicious, nasty. So when that final chord finally swells out of the orchestra at the very end, you just, oh my God, finally. Okay, what are the two families in Romeo and Juliet?
The Montagues and the Capulets.
That's right. What Titanic actor starred in the modern version of R&J?
Leo DiCaprio.
That's right.
He'll be 12 forever.
What? He'll certainly look 12 forever.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about DiCaprio is the last few years I've actually been impressed with his acting.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah.
He just looks
12 years old.
Yeah. I liked him in The Man in the Iron Mask. I thought he did a decent job.
He did a very good
there.
Job. Very good job. Yeah, I mean, he's... He can do it when he wants to.
And
he works with the right director,
aviator.
Too. Yeah, he was very good.
I never saw that.
Yeah, he was very good in that.
I never saw Titanic.
Yeah, he and Scorsese are starting to develop a kind of, you know, Tim Burton.
They're
Johnny
Depp. Johnny Depp thing, right?
Yeah.
He was good in The Departed.
That movie is awesome.
Which one is this?
The Departed.
Oh, yes, that's superb.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, Matt Damon's weak. I liked him in Good Will Hunting.
Rent the Informant, which is out on DVD now. Yes. He's hilarious.
But I thought he was...
That is magnificent. The Informant is brilliant.
Joel McHale.
Yeah.
But he's off and on.
And this new one, The Green Zone, I'm interested in seeing it because it's made by a director who is very much committed to raising issues and questions that no one wants to talk about generally.
Greengrass?
He's the one who made the incredible film about the IRA in Ireland, you know, Bloody Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, and apparently Damon is superb in that. You got to give him something worthwhile, you know. I mean, the Bourne stuff was fun, but that's just being there.
In The Good Shepherd.
Yeah, he's excellent in that.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, yeah.
About the beginnings of the CIA.
Yeah, yeah. What band sang the song Henry VIII, the same name as one of Shakespeare's plays?
Oh.
British group.
I'm Henry VIII, I am.
Yeah.
I just want to say Monty Python. I'm sure that's not right.
No. It's a name with it's a very alliterative kind of title, name.
Herman's Hermits?
Yep, Herman's Hermits. There we go. Oh. That's right. That's right.
Very good.
The other name for the play was It's All True. And let's pause and ponder that for a moment.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
Did he give you a discount or a freebie?
No, but he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia?
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
Our next set of questions comes from Kathra. Now, this is Ledesma. Is it Leedsma or Ledesma?
I don't know. From Grand Rapids?
No, from Crowley, Texas. So,
wow.
I don't know how it's pronounced. I probably mangled it. Anyway. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program.
Good.
I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJK changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles.
Ah.
By the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
Time from the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports, to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh, so
no.
This is our
word.
Since I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you get right or wrong.
Oh, we'll dig up grab a keychain.
We'll
something.
Do something.
We'll find something.
God, we'll come and move your furniture.
Yes, I just wanted a chance to star on your show. If my answers are wrong, blame Reader's Digest.
We'll send you a couple of
you
chairs.
You come to Detroit, we'll put you
on
the
nice
show.
Nice that somebody actually cares about
it. That's wonderful.
Much.
And we're back with our questions from Andrew Harrison of Sterling Heights, Michigan, on Shakespeare. We were talking, it's a Hamlet question again. When Hamlet's father dies, his brother takes the throne and also marries his wife.
Mm-hmm.
What is this brother's name?
Claudius.
Yes.
Claudius.
I just got the DVD of David Tennant's Hamlet from the RSC, and it's superb. But the amazing, one of the most interesting things in it as well, in addition to Tennant's performance and everybody else's, is Patrick Stewart, who plays Claudius and his brother, the ghost of Hamlet's father.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Is this the same David Tennant from Doctor Who?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was trained as a real actor. Okay. Who is Romeo in love with before he meets Juliet? And who never appears as a character in the play. She's just talked about.
That's a very good piece of trivia. Don't know the answer to. Urban Dictionary the other day told me whenever I don't know the answer to a question, I'm supposed to say, that's a good question.
That is a good, that's a very good. That's very good advice.
So that's what he's saying.
She of the quivering thigh is, she's described that way by Mercutio. By Blank's.
That could describe
bright
a lot
eye,
of
something or other, something, it's and like, quivering thigh.
It's not Miriam or something.
No,
like that, is it?
It's. Oh dear.
Crud.
I don't know how to give a hint for this. It's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
I have no idea.
Rosaline.
Rosaline.
Yes, yes. In Henry the Fourth, what country is Henry the King of?
Guess the obvious.
England? Yes. England. Yes.
Wait a minute.
You're playing with us now.
That sounds sort of suspicious.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. The rock opera musical Hair may seem an unusual place to find Shakespeare, but near the end of the second act, two cast members recite a passage from The Bard. Which play is it from?
Oh, Lord.
I think about the last time I saw Hair.
Is it As You Like It? Is it
no,
All the World?
No, it's one of the great tragedies.
Oh.
Macbeth?
Nope.
Lear?
Nope.
Othello?
Nope.
Richard the Third?
Hamlet?
No. Hamlet.
What am I thinking of?
Yeah.
Which? What's the famous Richard play?
Now is the wind of our discontent.
Richard the Third.
Glorious
Richard
summer by this son of York.
Yeah. Okay, Hamlet. So
it's
what's
Hamlet.
The, well... To be or not to be is the obvious.
Yeah, but this all he wants is the play, but it's what a piece of work is a man,
oh,
how
yeah.
noble in reason,
oh.
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what to me is this quintessence of
dust,
exactly. Man delights not me. No, by your smiling, you neither does woman.
They should have done the Alas, Poor Yorick bit.
Yeah, yeah. Which play was West Side Story? Story based on
Romeo and Juliet. Right?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes,
yeah.
yes.
Great adaptation.
When you're a jet, you're a jet.
I love this comment by our questioner. This 1961 remake of Shakespeare's most famous play featured warring street gangs. Originally, the conflict was to be over religion, not race. Maria was supposed to be a Roman Catholic and Tony Jewish.
Oh, that would have been.
But the producers and directors considered the religious conflict too trite, and it was changed to a racial issue. A little like Othello, I guess.
Nice.
Wow.
Sweet. Those Moors. Catch every time.
Oh, dear.
Those Moors.
Who wrote the famous song Green Sleeves?
Henry VIII?
Well, that's who they claim.
Yeah,
nobody
they claim
knows.
It. Nobody,
nobody
really
knows
who wrote that song.
That's right. Which of Henry VIII's wives appear in Shakespeare's play Henry VIII?
Anne Boleyn. Yeah, Anne Boleyn.
Anne Boleyn and another one.
Which number?
Jane Seymour.
No.
Anne of Cleves.
The one who is responsible, is the reason for the mess in the first place.
Catherine of Aragon.
Catherine of Aragon. That's right. That's right. Daughter of Ferdinand and Isabella.
Right.
Aunt of Charles V. Holy Roman Emperor, King of Spain, ruler of the Netherlands, the most powerful man in Europe, who had just taken the city of Rome and was holding the Pope in captivity. And that was not the time to write the Pope and say, would you get rid of this woman and throw her out of my life when your nephew is sitting right across from you and saying, don't even think it. You're talking about Aunt Catherine.
Right.
Bad timing, Henry. Bad timing.
And what did she ever do?
Died eventually.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And gave the world Mary.
Ah, yes. That's right.
Now, there's a laugh.
Mary,
a
Queen
girl.
Of Scots. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, no. Bloody Mary Tudor.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Duh.
Yes. Wow. Who married Philip II of Spain. Philip II, the man who was...
Another laugh a minute,
oh,
ruler.
Oh, you know, there's that wonderful story about Philip II. I don't know if it's true or not. It's reported by several different characters and people over the years, but it's a wonderful story. Philip II is a man who had no sense of humor. And he just... All the portraits of him, he is somber beyond description. And he loved burning people to stake, you know, that kind of stuff.
It is so
don't
fun.
We all?
Yeah, don't we all? And there's this wonderful account, I think it's by one of the ambassadors, saying that he was only known to have smiled in public once. And he did more than smile. He smiled, became a grin, and then he laughed. It was when he was brought the news about the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre in Paris. 6,000 Protestants dead in the streets of Paris. And Philip II grins.
Jeez.
What a wonderfully sick man. He deserved to be married to Mary Tudor for a while.
Yeah, she was pretty
awful. Not, she was certainly, you know, lacking in humor. Mm. Which is not one of the great tragedies of Shakespeare. I mentioned it
earlier.
Does
that mean it's a tragedy, but not considered one of the great ones?
It's supposed to be a tragedy,
but
it's not considered one of the great ones.
Is it Cymbeline? Is
yes,
that, yeah.
Cymbeline. That's right.
I was expecting a list of it.
I know. I...
No.
Wait for the other shoe.
Then I got distracted by the pseudo Star Trek.
Yes, I really don't really answer the question. Does the audience listening to this show actually hear them behind
know.
This? You know?
No, presumably not.
I would hope not. But. Oh, yeah. The trouble is that our questioner makes a good point, too, that the problem is some people argue it's not even a tragedy. It's one of these romances. The last plays he was writing were these experimental things like Pericles and Cymbeline and The Winter's Tale and then The Tempest.
That must be why I didn't really like The Winter's Tale.
Yeah, I just saw a production of it last summer in London. Simon Russell Beale, who's an incredible actor, still the best Hamlet I've ever seen in my life, was Leontes. Fine performance, but the whole show was stolen by Peter Hall's daughter, Rebecca, who plays Hermione. And when Hermione, you think, dies on stage, you know, because you think she does, she doesn't. She goes into hiding and then comes out later as a statue or comes to life. It's a weird play, but Rebecca Hall, she's been accused of adultery by her husband for no good reason at all, except he's basically unhinged, and then she learns that her son has died, and I have never seen anybody in my life on a stage capture so terrifyingly the sheer horror of the realization of what's happening to her, and you swear you're watching her actually die in front of you.
Wow.
Scariest thing I've ever seen. Huh. Yeah. But this is one incredibly talented young woman. She was in that otherwise terminally uninteresting movie, Barcelona something or other.
Vicky Barcelona.
Yeah, Vicky Barcelona. She was Vicky. she's the brunette, and... you know, someone just take away Woody Allen's camera.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
That's right. Vicky yes. Cristina Barcelona. That's it. That's right. Yeah.
I knew it was three names.
Yeah. Okay. Which Shakespearean character is not one of the daughters of King Lear? Well, there are several you could pick from. You give us a list.
Like, is that a multiple choice question?
Yeah, really.
I'm telling you. was not just me.
It's a comedy. It's a rambunctious comedy.
Taming of the Shrew?
Yes.
Oh, Kate?
I was going to say a comedy that some people think isn't funny at all. Normally women don't think it's very funny.
Kate?
Kate, yeah. It's Catherine. Kate.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Of which character?
How could people not think it was funny?
What?
How could people not think that
was funny? I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I'm a feminist, and I think that movie's hilarious.
I think the play's hilarious, yeah.
Bet you Philip II wouldn't have thought it was funny.
Yeah, well, you know, if your idea of a good time is burning people at the stake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How often can you replicate that in a play?
Oh, my gosh.
Unless it's the Counter-Reformation and you're doing it, you know, all over Europe so that you can get people to donate to the church or whatever, you know. Along with your showing of relics or, you know.
Yes, all those money-making things they have. These little sidelines. Mm-hmm.
Selling indulgences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Put a price tag on it. It's cash and carry Christianity,
right,
folks.
Exactly. Salvation for sale.
Everything must go.
Everything must go. Yes. Tonight only. 400 years in purgatory left off instead of 200. It's a bargain.
It's the Gardner White of religion. Yeah. Have you ever known, you're like always having a sale. Isn't that? Yeah. There's something conceptually impossible.
I know.
About
I don't.
If
know,
you
don't.
Never have anything on regular, at
this
regular
is a local
price,
furniture
it's
store.
It's impossible
folks,
to have
Detroit,
things on sale.
That's right.
By sales, by definition, a lowering of a regular price.
In my world, it's Art Van, and I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why there isn't a turn of phrase in southeastern Michigan that has. Did you know that Art Van's having a sale this week?
Yeah,
I mean, they always have a sale.
And before that, it was New York Carpet
like
World.
New York Carpet World, of course.
Gosh.
Wow, there's a blacklist.
Wow.
We should have someone write in some questions
about
Detroit commercials.
It's like having a painting that's a forgery. Well, but you can't have a painting that's a forgery unless there's a real thing that it's a forgery of. You know what I mean? It's a question of conceptual priority.
It's true.
I'm a logic dork. What can I say?
You're not a dork.
I am too. I'm a proud dork. No.
Everyone knows that Brutus betrayed Julius Caesar. What happened to Brutus at the end of the play?
Oh, he dies.
Yes, how?
Stabbed. That would be fitting.
Well, he is. Stake. He is stabbed. No, it's not. He's Philip II's not in this one, no.
Philip II comes out of nowhere.
That's right. He just grabs him and throws him on a fire.
That would be something Monty Python would do.
Yeah, it is. It exactly is.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
And on that note.
I want to know the answer.
Oh, he commits suicide, but actually his slave holds the sword, so
he
runs
on
it.
His sword.
Yes. All right. We're going to hold these questions from Mr. Harrison until next week. And in the meantime, I'd like to thank the panel today. Professor Oljar, Professor Mayo, Professor DiMaggio. Maggio, I mean. What am I doing?
Perfectly,
I'm losing my mind. And now this word.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Communication Studies Media Center and the University of Detroit Mercy Campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Michael Jason, who is also the technical director. Executive producer is Vivian Dix, and until next week, I'm your substitute, transient, just passing through host, Edmund DeWitt, sitting in for Kathy Bush.